This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt. We got the vaccinated, no, the isolated room.
Yeah.
Did Texas A&M misstep back there.
You got patient zero back there with Caitlin.
The bubble kids.
The bubble there. Kids, exactly. With Peyton and Caitlin sick, live on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. Now the entire Morning family back together again. How's Bobby Belt as a college football broadcaster? We have the audio to judge coming up at 9:20 this morning. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece at 9:40. Right now, though, RJ Choppy with NFL overreactions or not.
All right, let's go to the first one. This first one's going to take a little bit of research maybe, but the Lions are the most dominant regular season team since that Rodgers-Packers team the year after they won the Super Bowl. They were 15-1. They lose the Giants in the division round, but they were just a wagon.
What year was that?
2011, 15-1, just a dominant team.
I don't even remember them as a dominant team.
No, I don't either. I mean, their defense was not great.
Well, I mean, the Lions' defense isn't great either.
It's no, but I mean, they were like bottom third in the NFL.
Dominant team.
No, that's an overreaction because that's giving too much credit to that Packers team. This might be. Well, I was going to look. This might be the most dominant team since regular season team since that 07 Patriots team.
Well, I was trying to think of another team between the Packer one and now. Who else would be in the running? Who else would be in the mix?
You would have had.
Because if we can't name them, then it's not an overreaction.
Well, you would have had Seattle that the 2 years they won the title or that they went to the Super Bowl.
Different type of dominant, but yeah.
You would have had the Denver team.
The first Denver Payton team. The first year of that team.
The first
team.
Super Bowl.
That team.
2013.
That team. I would take over this Lions team.
Yeah, that Denver team was, you couldn't slow them down.
God, they scored 35 in a playoff game and lost.
Be better, yeah. Peyton.
Yeah, what was that? They were, they averaged 38 points a game, that Denver team, in the regular season.
I'll say it's an overreaction. At no point in time this year have I said they're invincible. When it comes to like that type of dominance, I thought that about that first year. Manning team, I'm definitely with the 07 Patriots, but your question is after that.
Yeah, I even think the 2010 Patriots, they weren't as dominant as either. They didn't even do anything.
That Broncos team scored 51 points three times. They scored 45 six times.
Including in Arlington?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God.
Slight overreaction.
Slight overreaction.
Unless we can come up with a number of teams to smash and talk down the statement, then it's not a crazy overreaction.
All right, next one.
And what about Fantex? Anyone on the Fantex coming up with a team from a year that was dominant?
2015 Panthers, 15-1.
No.
817 says Bobby still can't give McCarthy credit even a year after winning a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Next one. Bo Nix will be the rookie of the year.
Overreaction. Did you go and look at the intended air yards on some of those throws? I went and watched the highlights. Jaden Daniels is still going to win rookie of the year.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's been 2 weeks, or no, what has it been? He's in the last several weeks. He's definitely ticked back.
But maybe it's
rushing.
But maybe it's not an overreaction, depending on how Bo plays and if Washington regresses a little.
Daniels had a much better start.
Yes.
and he's kind of not dropped off, but had kind of leveled off. Bo had a worse start, but he's really come on strong. So maybe the late kick.
The QBR is 15 points lower for Bo Nix. Jaden Daniels has played much better.
Are you feeling wrong about Nix? Are you worried about being wrong about Nix, Bobby?
No. Bo Nix is not. Like, it doesn't look like a guy who's playing any differently. Like, it's benefited in the last couple weeks. We're talking about he's had 6 touchdowns and no interceptions the last 2 weeks. That's nice, but outside of that, that means he was 8 touchdowns to 6 picks before the last 2 weeks.
The we talked about this. What they really liked about him in camp is that he had played 6 years of college ball, so he had seen everything. And yeah. Sean Payton could throw a lot at him, and kind of he could figure out. He knew what he was doing.
By the way, Bo Nix is who. One of the players that, and this is why I say slow down Will Chambers and others, Bo Nix is one of the guys who consistently gets brought up as being similar to Shedeur Sanders in terms of play style.
Huh. And that means what?
Just in terms of like the way that they operate, the way that
I know what that means,
so
but
we're talking about release, we're talking about the way that he plays the position, the way he moves around the pocket, that's all very similar to Bo Nix. The names that most consistently get thrown out with Shedeur are Bo Nix, Baker Mayfield, and Geno Smith.
You know, I'm gonna say it's not an overreaction, depending on how much Denver continues to increase. What are we looking at for their schedule?
Well, they got to play Kansas City again. I think they have the Chargers again still.
They've got Raiders, Browns, Colts, Chargers.
Hang on, say it again slowly. Go ahead.
Raiders, good. Browns, yeah. Bye week in the middle of December.
Yeah.
Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs.
Okay.
Depends on what Cincinnati needs to do at the end there.
The next 3 weeks will determine, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, those are 3 wins that Denver will probably be fair. I'll say it's not an overreaction. Good question.
I agree. I don't think it's an overreaction.
I think it's a massive overreaction.
Massive?
Yeah, because I don't think Bo Nix, if you take 2 weeks, 2 weeks is not enough to move Bo Nix.
But what's going to happen the rest of the year? Yeah.
And you got to look at like,
They could win these next 3.
I will say that I bet you, where are we at right now here? I'll make a call on it right now. Bo Nix the rest of the year, I would guess that he finishes these next 6 weeks no better than 6 touchdowns the rest of the
weeks?
6 weeks.
That he won't throw?
He will not go above 6 passing touchdowns the rest of the way.
Woo!
Wow.
Hot take. Jaden Daniels, as of this week, is 1-9 minus 900. Bo Nix is 5-1, and then drops off a cliff to Brock Bowers, Brian Thomas, Marvin Harrison Jr., who's had a very nice year. My right, boy Malik one. Neighbors has plummeted.
Yes, he has.
Come on, Malik.
Next one. Buffalo is the team to
especially
beat.
On Thanksgiving. Come on, Malik.
Buffalo is the team to beat in the AFC.
Not an overreaction.
Oh, go ahead, Bobby.
Not an overreaction because that's who I was the best team in the AFC right now. So I don't think it's an overreaction. Josh Allen just seems like he is.
But you're also doing a bit with Kansas City.
It's not a bit. No, the bit is you going by whatever Vegas tells you to go by.
It's not a
but
bit.
I would say
yeah,
that,
who's
yes,
bit
it is.
Here? Both of you are kind of on the bit spectrum.
I actually,
it's not a bit at all.
Look, yeah.
Bobby's on the spectrum.
Choppy and I both bit. Yeah, that's that was where we got
Stephen A. Chop over here.
Is that if you look at it, like Buffalo just beat Kansas City. Buffalo has played probably over the course of the season, like if you look at the way they've played offensive, defensive, and they've played a more consistent brand of football for the entire season than anybody else in the AFC has.
What? How did you phrase it?
They played a more.
No.
Buffalo is the team to beat in the AFC.
I don't agree with it, but it's not an overreaction because it's wide open.
I don't agree with it, but right.
It's not an overreaction.
I'm right there with you. All right, next one. Pittsburgh is a Super Bowl contender.
Woo! Mm. Good question.
Thank you.
I haven't watched tape of them since Dallas, obviously, but the team I watched on tape leading up to Dallas and the team that played Dallas, no. They absolutely were not. I would say no. I'd say that's an overreaction. I don't think they can legitimately win it.
What do you think?
I don't see a situation where they win a playoff game.
You don't see a situation where they win a playoff game?
Nope. They're going to be playing a team.
Did you put them in your power rankings?
No.
Okay.
They're going to be playing a playoff team.
They're the 3 seed right now. They would take on Baltimore as the 6.
Yeah,
they just beat them.
Yeah, okay, but
you can't see how they would beat Baltimore? You can't see how they would beat Denver. You can't see how they would beat Indy.
Yeah, and you said you don't believe in Baltimore.
Baltimore is the one team that they could beat.
Denver, Indy, Miami are 7-8-9.
Bad team.
You can see them. You I just say you'd like to backtrack off.
Those are bad teams. Those are bad teams.
Those are bad teams that they could beat. So you could see a way that they win a playoff game.
I can't see them winning a second playoff game.
There you go.
Like so, and you know, I don't care about winning and beating the sixth seed. That's not a Super Bowl contender to me.
Boy, if you go to the NFL playoff machine, which is now live this week from ESPN, and you can set all the different criteria. So if you just set it to like pick the winners of these games the rest of the way based on where they rank offensively, because I don't want to go through 5 weeks of picks or whatever. But if you do that, Pittsburgh ends up with a home game against Los Angeles, against the Chargers.
Against the Chargers? I would take the Chargers.
Pittsburgh can end up in the AFC Championship game if they somehow... I will say that there is a chance or way that they can make it to the Super Bowl.
They would have to.
I can't believe it. It pains me to say, but I am less stubborn. Amanda, if you're listening, I am less stubborn than these two.
Well, hang on. They would
not want to move off of anything.
I gave Jaden Daniels credit. That's about as big of a let go as I can have.
The only way they would
have... Your Steeler analysis was... Well, judging by weeks 1 through 3 of my Cowboy tape, I haven't watched them since then, so that will formulate my answer. No. That's not a good enough
Hold on. I have to reply to that. Hold on, because I said what I said. I'm saying...
Mute him, moderator.
I liked Pittsburgh heading into the Dallas game. I didn't think Dallas had a shot to beat him, and then I saw the tape, and I was like, oh, the tape is not good. So I'm saying I can see him on TV and think maybe they've played better, but without watching the tape and seeing if they've corrected those things, I can't lean towards thinking they're good enough.
Their defense cannot be denied. Their coaching cannot be denied, and enough of this freaking Russell to Pickens is happening that through some crazy wins, I could see them... Getting far enough.
The only way they can make the AFC Championship game is if Buffalo were to lose to Denver in the first round. And then Pittsburgh would have a home game. Because otherwise, anybody see them going to Buffalo and winning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I don't believe Buffalo is this great invincible team.
I don't think they're invincible either, but man.
It's going to have to be Josh out. Buffalo can, any of them can lose early. That's why I'm going to say Pittsburgh can be alive.
Next one.
Around the NFL power, or excuse me, NFL overreactions here on The Fan.
Lamar Jackson is no longer the MVP favorite.
Not an overreaction. Because, I mean, they've struggled the last couple weeks. I don't know how consistently they're going to be able to finish games because of the way that defense plays at times. And Josh Allen, to me, is...
I mean, it's not an overreaction because, to borrow from RJ, Vegas has told us it's not an overreaction because Josh Allen is the favorite.
That is.
Josh Allen, bet online, is 3-2. Lamar's 2-1. And here's Goff at 15-2. Mahomes is 12-1 and fourth.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, remember he was the favorite a couple weeks ago or close to it?
Like so it's not an overreaction.
I don't think it's an overreaction either.
Because he's not.
San Fran's only route to the playoffs is through the division.
Their only route to the playoffs is through the division. They have to win the division. Like, they can't be a wild card.
Right. They are 10th right now in the NFC.
Arizona's 6-4. Every other team in the West is 5-5.
Through tiebreakers, they're in last place in the NFC. Well, according to the playoffs.
It's an overreaction because of what's left on their schedule. They have one division game left, or no, two division games left in their schedule, but they've got Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago, Miami, Detroit outside their division the rest of the way. Ooh. So, I mean, if they win the games, like, I don't know.
That's a tough schedule.
No, I know, but I'm saying that clearly, like, they can still, they're capable of winning those games. So you don't have to, because it's a control your own destiny thing, they don't need to go through the division to have that. In fact, they've already kind of settled whatever they're going to be within the division. They've got division losses. So division might be harder.
No, I think what he's trying to say is the only way they can make the playoffs is winning the NFC West. Like, can they make it as a wild card?
Right. I'm saying that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think they got a better shot to have tiebreakers in the wild card than they do their own division.
Oh, because, okay, I get it. All right.
I'm looking at the other wild card
teams. 1-3 in the division.
So Washington or Philly is going to be a wild card. Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay. That's at least another one there. It depends on when the Packers fall up, but let's just say it's three. And four wild cards make it now, right?
Yeah.
I'll say
three. Which they have Green Bay this weekend.
Okay. Ooh. That's going to be juicy.
So if they beat Green Bay, that's good. This week is a big game for them, determining if they've got wild card status.
Huge. All right. Final one, real quick. Miami is going to make the playoffs. Oh. Right now, they are the ninth seed. They're 4-6. Denver is 6-5. As the seventh seed.
Now, let me give you the AFC wild cards. Baltimore. Indy is 5-6. Ugh. The Chargers and Baltimore are in as wild cards. So that third wild card is going to come down to Miami, Indy, Denver. Will you bet on a Denver fall off and a Miami rise? Bobby, you were crapping on Miami before they went off in the second half the other day.
Here's Miami's schedule real quick. New England at Green Bay, Jets at Houston, San Fran at Cleveland at the Jets.
All right, there's two four losses. Wins. Four yeah. wins in there.
Miami's not going to make the playoffs. That's no.
I'm going to say they're not as well. That too much has looked broken. Look, I know the Tua thing, but the Mike McDaniel sexiness
shines off him a little bit.
It shines off for me now.
I say it's an overreaction.
With confidence. NFL. I do not have confidence. Overreactions or not on DFW Sports Station. Choppy and Belt should be the next Buck Aikman. Is that an overreaction or not? How do these two call a college football game? We have the audio next.
Fake the handoff, looking left, going deep. Got Jackson breaking away. Kojak in the open. One man to beat. Touchdown, Tarleton. Texans. Kojak strikes on the left side, and the Texans bounce back 6-7 with the extra point upcoming, and you can fire that cannon.
Whoa. What a call right there. My only issue and question, did he say they bounce back 6-7?
Yeah, he did.
Look. Yeah, is that a broadcasting no-no?
I almost said it. I almost said it to him.
You did? What, the Mavs cut it to 61-65?
Yeah, I almost said that. And, you know, it's very
disappointing.
So also disappointing because Byron is a former collegiate baseball player.
Oh.
So he's an athlete. You know, athletes know you do the top score first. You do the big score first.
No, but it is because Tarleton and ACU are like big time rivals. That's like a thing for them, is that they don't like say the score of ACU first. They put them second.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just making that up.
Oh, I thought that was
but it sounded very convincing.
The notes that they sent you that RJ said he didn't read.
I read them. I read those notes.
Speaking of college football, the playoff rankings came out last night. Oregon 1, Texas 2. Miami 3, Boise State 4, Ohio State 5. By the way, I thought the Longhorn Twitter account had Texas at 3. This says 2. Did I misread
No,
that?
Because it's yeah, because it's okay. of...
So the rankings are different than the seeds.
Yeah, the seeding is different because Ohio State
can't be
in the top 4 because Oregon's already in there.
And that's because what?
Same conference. Top 4 they're all conference champs.
Ohio State and Oregon in the same conference. I just can't wrap yeah, my mind around
it. I know.
All right. Oregon 1, Texas 2, Miami 3, Boise State 4, Ohio State 5. They would take on BYU, who's the 12. It would be Bama against Notre Dame. Bama moved up. That'd be 9-8. Georgia at 11 versus number 6 Penn State. And Indiana at 7 against Ole Miss at 10. Get to the leftover college football kegger momentarily on DFW Sports Station, but let's finish up with the college broadcasting calls, guest commentators, Bobby Belt and RJ Choppy for Tarleton.
All right, so before the game started...
Did you guys have any Tolos tell you that they listened to this?
I had
somebody tweet me say that they were listening, because somebody asked me for the link, and so like I sent the link to a couple people and had some people listen.
Did they have like a radio station, or no, it's just link?
Well, no, there's a radio station, but it, yeah, it's just it's. I don't know that we can say where it was because it's still broadcasted here. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it did. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, they start the game off, and now there were this pregame was supposed to start at 5:30. It's like 5:50, and we're not on the air yet. We had some issues on the radio. It's Bobby's fault because he was the engineer.
No, I was, by the way. I was actually chopped, moved out of the way, let the adults step in and try and troubleshoot the equipment. This was only after at 5:15, by the way. The pregame at 5:30 had been laid out in notes for the better part of a week. Hey, you guys need to have a key to the game, blah, blah, blah. So when we're up there, Byron's going over and says, oh, and so when we get to the keys to the game segment, you guys will just each have a key, and Chop has just the 1,000-mile stare. And he's like, so Chop, you could just, what's your key? And Chop goes, I don't have any clue what you're talking about.
Yeah. Listen, here's the rule.
How much did you prepare for the Legends games for real?
Legends games.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, a decent amount. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know the scale.
Well, decent compared to this would be 3.
Oh, no. Like I had all the numbers memorized and the players.
Okay.
And I wrote a lot down because I had to do a lion's share of the talking. I knew this. I was just in there. I was the third voice of that. I was just the BS guy.
Okay.
But also, if you want to get a hold of me, you know to text me. Don't email me. I don't look at
it. Oh, he had no problem finding the one email that had his parking in it.
Look at that. 15,909 unread emails. That's not even my work email. My work email is worse.
But you found the parking email. You opened that attachment.
Yeah, that benefits him.
I opened that attachment a mile from the stadium. Okay? And then I couldn't find it. I was starting to go in a little bit of a panic. So there were some technical difficulties, and Byron Anderson is the play-by-play guy. He's a big Tolo.
He is.
And he had a surprise for us and for you, Sean Sharif, in the pregame.
Well, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but I can get it fixed really quick. And you know how I do that? I'm going to send it back to Lance because you guys look a little uncomfortable. And I want to make sure that you guys, are really comfortable and you know what you're doing. I want to make you feel at home. So let's go ahead and send it back to the station for a little bit. It's Brian and RJ, Bobby Belt, our Tarleton, Texas insider, not mentioned on our open and our rejoin on every show, but he's with us every show. Somewhat confusing, but not as confusing as me spelling my name Byron, but pronouncing it Brian. RJ, we will start with you. What is your first key to the game for the Texans to win?
Well, it's just like anything, guys, okay? It's football, and that means it's about controlling the line of scrimmage. Tarleton, top 15 in running the ball. ACU can't stop a nosebleed. The O-line has to use their body, use their leadership, get to the second level of defense. That's where this game's going to be won.
I agree. That's not what you said on your email last night, Choppy, but we're okay with that. Now it's time to go below the belt as our Texans insider, Bobby Belt. Bobby, have a great insight on this, but not too great, and don't be funnier than me. How are the Texans going
to
win today?
Yeah, I know. That's top jokes. I've had it said to me repeatedly.
Right.
Look, I mean, live up to your identity as the conference leader in takeaways. That's going to be the biggest thing. So Maverick McIver, like everybody knows already, hit the quarterback for ACU. That's somebody who, prolific passer, but even with the volume of attempts that he has, he doesn't turn the ball over. He generally takes care of it pretty well. So live up to your identity as a team that takes the football away, because you're not going to be given any opportunities. You're going to have to go out there and create them. I know Brian, you talked this week with Todd Whitten, and he had mentioned that it's got to be like an all 11 to the ball mentality, and that you'll generate takeaways naturally from that, and then get the opportunity, get that short field, and then lean on Kayvon Britton to do what he's done all year.
I think that was good.
It was good.
So,
it was,
you know,
a solid bit.
I appreciate him listening. Shots fired at my parents. they'll be here on Friday. Shots fired at my parents for the spelling of my name, but that was good.
It was. And then, like, after that, he was like, he goes back in a real voice and says how much he loves the show. And
yeah.
Just, you know,
the problem, he's probably doing all of his listeners a disservice with people not knowing who we are
wrong.
Or who I am.
Wrong. I'm serious. I hear...
Like, how many people are going to get that reference to The Voice while listening to...
We get stopped out there in Stephenville. Yeah. People telling us how much they listen. Like, there's a lot of Cowboys fans. And it's not just that. It's a lot of people who grew up in DFW who now go to the school.
Ah.
I mean, the people we were all sitting in the suite with, they drove from DFW to be in the suite. Like, they live in DFW and they drive out there to be there. So we get... I mean, we've had a lot of interaction. We got stopped at the bar by a guy named Logan, Colt, like a bunch of different people who stopped us and said,
nice.
I mean, there are a lot of people who commute from Fort Worth to Stephenville to work there.
All right, so Bobby did the second half. Now, I didn't get a chance to hear these, Robert.
Did you not? All right, well, let's jump into them. I think the first one, before we get to mine, because I was not the star of the broadcast, Choppy was not the star of the broadcast, the one I want to get to is 18. And that's my star of this game is the sideline reporter, Kelton Weans, who I was not familiar with entering this game. But, man, I love the punchy, quick, pithy, hard-hitting analysis that he gave us throughout the broadcast.
Oh, they're going to review whether or not he was down. Neat. That was right in front of Todd Whitten. That gives us a chance to go down on the field. Our fourth member of the broadcast crew today, that's Kelton Weans. Kelton, first off, were you able to see anything on that play right there?
Too many people in the way, man.
Too many people. Okay, well, tell me about the weather. What's it like out there today? I think it's more football weather.
Beautiful evening, 74 degrees.
I don't know if this could be a spot of the ball or something about the clock that didn't get reset. Usually that's what this is here. Let's go down to Kelton Weans. Kelton, I don't know if you have any insight you could provide for us at this point.
I don't.
Okay.
He's not even going to try to make it. He's not going to Carissa Thompson make up an interview with the coach. He's just like, nope, nothing.
So is that whole thing a bit?
No. No, he didn't have anything.
But how is he not standing in a position to see?
I don't know.
He's the sideline reporter.
And he did.
That's hilarious.
He did a good job.
In the way, man. Too many.
If he didn't know.
I was watching this flyover.
If he didn't know, he was not going to fake a take. He was just like, nope, don't know. Sorry.
That's good.
I respect it. So I did. We did happen to mention, this will be cut 16, Peyton. As we were watching the game, they did call out a little bit, and we had to have a discussion about it, a little bit of RJ's lack of prep. He did mention their top 15 in running. That literally came from the PDF I sent Choppy 2 minutes before we went on the air, and he was just reading off of.
But I was able to find that really
quick. You did. Yeah. But this is calling out RJ's prep.
Hicks now with that run will go over 100 yards. Kearns on the tackle. Some nice moves there. What do you think about Hicks tonight? He's had some good moves.
Yeah, Hicks has been really good. I'll tell you what, you know, stood out for me there on that particular play, though, was the left tackle made a fantastic block. Opened up a really big hole there for him.
Boy, Bobby Belt, looking at that film, we can feel it right here. Trips to the right.
Take that,
two receivers left.
Take that.
Where was that was not the one, was it, Peyton?
Yeah, because that wasn't funny at all. Really.
No,
that
I know. They're supposed to... Okay, let's go to cut 17
Peyton,
here.
Just say I can't see it. The mic was in front of the cut sheet.
Too many people in the way, man.
Cut 17 here. This is the one side swipe I took a Choppy because I didn't have the jokes ready, loaded up like Choppy did. And so the only one I could take was I wanted to make a Caitlin Clark joke, but I decided to shift it to Choppy.
On the kickoff, Kyler Meskey is into the wind. This one's going to go out of bounds, hit off the side of his foot, and will almost hit one of the cheerleaders for ACU, and the Texans will take over at the 35-yard line with some of their best field position of the day.
Yeah, that looked like RJ Choppy in the tee box there, just shanked it hard left.
Just kidding. Choppy shanks hard right, typically.
Oh,
not hard left. No, I'm just talking about because have you seen him swinging the golf club? It tends to go out that way. But it was a good time. I was very nervous calling this because I didn't know how to, like, when I was supposed to talk. I didn't know if it was supposed to be like a raise my hand thing or if I was just supposed to, like, make eye. You're sitting all next to each other, too, so it's not like a, hey, let me, like, make a look to you or an eyebrow or whatever else.
Do you think that they're happy with the return they got on the invite? You think they'll invite you back again? Yes. You think they thought you all did a good job?
They've already invited him out, which is going to cause a problem,
for what?
I think. They've invited him out for Grand Canyon basketball again.
Just last year.
And this is not going to be an opportunity where Chop can take off the next morning. He will have to roll right into the broadcast the next day because this happens to be when this broadcast is a day that you're going to be out. So,
did you accept?
I'll do it. So I'll just drive.
So we'll have a 3-hour sleep Chop with you out the next Friday morning.
Hopefully it won't be a 9 p.m. start like the last one.
It'll be just like a post-election show. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line to hit us up. Thank you to Tarleton for inviting the fellas out and giving them even more airtime. Let's crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece next on 105.3 The Fan.
Robinson Earl made a couple of early threes, but the well's dried up for him since. Deep three, pull up! Bingo!
That was a call on WFAA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mavs destroy the Pelicans. It's
hell
the
yeah.
KNC Masterpiece Crosstalk on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Kevin Hagelin.
Can I show off this fancy...
Sure, it's on radio. Perfect.
Perhaps. Okay.
Dude, we have a platform.
It's that camera. It's that camera.
And show it to the cameras. We have a delightful 1-of-500 art piece with a cowboy riding into the sunset and the Rangers World Series trophy autographed by Eric Nadel, which says, Rangers fans, you're not dreaming.
Ooh.
We'll be part of many extravagant items at Peace-a-thon in 1 week.
I have added on the Facebook page, if there are any business owners out there that want to add last-minute big-ticket items to Peace-a-thon, go ahead and message me.
And somebody asked the other day, do you have to be a millionaire for all these auctions? We have auction items from $20 to $9,000 in most places in between. Not every place in between, but you get the idea.
And you guys set a record last year.
That's right. And we're going to break it.
Yeah, we got 80,000 last year. Our goal was 60, and we shot right past that because I guess everybody had disposable income in their pockets. I don't know.
They will now.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, Bitcoin people.
We're shooting bigger.
That's right.
And we're adding this element too. We've never really pushed. So we've always been like, hey, you can donate if you want to. But this year we're going to ramp it up. We're bringing back the Wheel of Misfortune for it.
Oh, you're going to wipe all the cheese names off
there? Actually, I don't know. That might be permanent marker. So far, what we have added to the list of things that we will do. T-shirt cannon to the face, all right? We're going to put baseballs in it. Mousetrap maze. What? Don't worry about that. Mousetrap maze. So we'll lay mousetraps all over the hall, and you have to blindfolded run through it. Cranberry.
Need to put raid traps by the wall.
Yeah, I said the F
word once.
Yeah,
I killed a cockroach.
Cranberry is where you have to pour cranberry sauce in your pants and sing the cranberry songs, linger. And then
is cranberry sauce or juice do something to you?
No, you just have to pour weird stuff down your pants.
All right. And sing. You know?
I think that's the idea.
And then the skin pinch pickup. You will lay on the floor, and four people will grab you by the skin and try to lift you off the ground.
Wow. Can you guys do any of that from 6 to 10 a.m. so we get the ratings from that?
Yeah, we're going to spread out as long as the donations come in.
That's up to the donators.
Yeah, the donations got to come in. You meet some numbers, and we'll hit those for you.
What was the worst Wheel of Misfortune punishment each of you had to do and the one that you were thanking the radio gods that you didn't have to do that someone else did?
All right, well, I'm going to reveal a trade secret.
They were all fake?
No. Oh, my God.
WWE?
I wish. You shut your mouth. We've got Dustin Rhodes coming on the show at
12:20.
Yeah, we do. Today. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Slap the American Dream. Mouth. That's okay.
Gold dust?
Sapphire.
Yes.
Sapphire.
Correct.
Could you ask him if he's ever had a real fight in his life of any sort?
He's a really cool dude. We've talked to him before.
No, hang on. I'm being serious.
I was on your side.
I'm being serious for a second.
You weren't on my side coming into the segment.
Cody Rhodes is a big-time superstar.
Correct.
He's the son of Dusty.
Yes, as is Dustin.
Dustin was Gold Dust.
They're like 30 years apart.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, and what does Gold Dust do now?
He's in AEW, and you know AEW's got their big show coming to Globe Life Field next summer. And by the way, we have tickets available for that in Peace-a-thon as well.
You said he's working with the Von Erichs,
yes,
too?
Yes, he is working with the Von Erichs.
Which one?
Kids. Can Marshall
you,
and
the,
Ross.
The sons, yeah.
Can you bid on the wrestling tickets with Monopoly money?
Answer.
You're not
getting
any Monopoly money anymore.
I want to know about your Wheel of Misfortune.
All right. So I would always lose the task before Cranberry, because you would get immune for just the next one. So whatever it was, like we had a really fun bit that I think we just did because of the name called Hand Jog. And
you had to hold your hand on the table and jog in place.
I'm not going to lie.
Sean Watson's favorite.
I think it was the name more than anything. And so I would always lose the one before, so I was immune from losing Cranberry. And the one that was the worst was when Colby Sapp took the ham steak out of the freezer and it kept breaking before he could smash me in the face. So finally, he took a tiny little piece, put it over his fist, and punched me in the face. I did not care for that.
Can't imagine why.
You were mad after it.
I mean, I wasn't mad, but I was like, dude, what the hell? And he goes, the thing broke. What do you want me to do?
I always thought it was a frozen ham steak I had heard.
Yeah. I said he took it out of the freezer.
But I was thinking it was more the fist behind it. I thought it was the frozen ham.
Yeah, he was slapped with the ham, but the ham kept breaking before it connected.
It was frozen. Yeah.
And he was like, the hell with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't like that part.
Is he the toughest person you've met or top three?
Yeah. Yes. So one more fun story about that. We did a show at, it was in downtown at a boxing.
It was at Palladium Ballroom.
Okay. And so the whole deal was one of the fighters on the card the next day was going to punch Colby in the face. And he pulled his punch, and it didn't look great, which I get it from the boxer standpoint. Like, he has a fight he's going to get paid for the next day.
He didn't want to kill somebody.
That's true. And so we opened it up to anybody from the fan to come punch Colby in the face, and CA showed up, and he was like, I'm going to pull the punch. And Colby goes, no, you aren't. You're going to punch me in the face. And like 20 seconds before we go off the air, he pops him good. And I can hear Sean Hudgens counting me down. I was like, good Lord.
Yeah. That video is still up on our YouTube, like our KNC YouTube somewhere. And it's the highest rate of views we've ever gotten.
Chris punching.
And you can hear like he pops him.
Like for real.
Wow. It was great. So the one I hated the most, well, usually I would win all the challenges and I never had to do anything.
Well, look at this guy.
And then so at the end,
you're like the CT of the fan.
At the end, I would
great reference.
I would force everybody to do the cinnamon challenge, and then I would be like, I'm not doing it. And so I would lose that one, the cinnamon challenge.
And that is
where you put a teaspoon of cinnamon in your mouth and then just choke it down somehow, and it's like it just stays dry. It you just can't, stays like, dry.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. It tastes gross. It's like dangerous too. Like doctors would tell people to stop. And yeah, because so, you can choke.
Yeah. So I would go, Kevin, I'm not doing it. And then I would watch the cinnamon puff out of Kevin's mouth. And so then what I would do is the punishment then was I had to wear a turkey on my head. So I would take a turkey and put it on my head at the end of the segment. And that would be at like 8 o'clock in the morning when y'all would be there.
We
but
would
Jared
see
was taking
ass
over.
Jared on the couch. He's like, hey guys, what time am I?
Jared. Sandler?
Oh, yeah.
Drunk?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
From what?
He would come in about two or three in the morning.
This was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and he'd come in and he'd fall asleep on the couch, and then he'd get up and do y'all's show. And it was awesome. It was a really good vibe.
Speaking of turkey, guess who's mailing in Thanksgiving this year? My mom.
Oh,
you know, my dad. You know, my dad's half dead over here. Of course, he leaves the house and she starts mailing in
food. He can't eat it.
No, he can't.
He can drink it.
Yeah, that's right. It's all pureed with him. But the moment he basically became a veggie, right? She just mailed in everything. So now, no Thanksgiving turkey.
Hold on. I think I know what to do.
She's going ham.
Have you gone up to her and been like, Ma, come on?
Your Italian impression?
Is that your Italian impression?
I agree with you, though. Like, my brother and I get really worked up over these types of things.
Yeah.
Like, if my mom ever suggested, let's dial it back, let's cut it back, not this homemade that, we would have a hissy
fit. What am I going to have her turkey? You don't have it any other day. Besides,
is her turkey that great?
It's a good turkey. It's a fine turkey.
I thought you
turkey.
Had the 9 seafoods or something.
That's Christmas.
Oh.
That's Christmas. The, okay. The 7 fishes.
The 7
fishes. But, yes. My nephew, Tinderhands, Tindy, he hates turkey. So he's the golden boy now because I guess she loves him more. So she's like, well, Nick wants ham, and we're going to have ham.
So she's making dinner, but just with the ham.
She's making a ham instead.
So you guys should make a turkey and bring it.
I'm just doing the turkey breast this year. You do that last year? I was like, that looks genius.
That was just a random cook.
Okay,
that's
all I'm doing.
For you. But I'm getting the turkey breast in addition to the turkey because that turkey breast is a game changer.
Yeah, I'm going to do a frozen turkey. I'm sorry, a fried turkey.
Fried turkey's dope.
And I'm going to dump it in there frozen so I get a video. I want a video.
Dangerous.
I just do it for the grill.
Police officers or
with
fire department.
Your poor, single, lonely mother, who I love.
She's still married. He's still alive.
Oh, yes.
He's single.
Sorry. By herself.
My God, if I see her on a dating app, holy cow.
On an app?
Why would you be on a dating app?
Well, no, if I find out that she's on one.
Oh, if you log into Sarah.
No, that's Sarah. Sarah would have the app still.
We took care of that.
You should cook the dinner and have your mother come over.
That's the whole point of having a mom.
That's why we don't eat every year.
Oh,
in my house.
Yeah, you can invite Bobby over to your house.
Absolutely.
Can I borrow your mom?
Real home cooked food.
Corey, what's coming up?
We start the show with Ordinary World versus Cowboys World.
In an ordinary Durant world. Song, ordinary world.
Yeah,
it'll come undone, but it's good.
In an ordinary world, this happens, but in the Cowboys world, this happens. So we'll do that right out of the gate. And then we do have AEW wrestler, double Ring of Honor champion, and wrestling icon, Dustin Rhodes at 12:20 today. And Mike might show up.
He'll be here.
Is it like the Cowboys Ring of Honor or?
Yeah, that's the name of the Federation, Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mike was texting me a lot about Deion this morning. He was not a fan of me advocating that Deion Sanders could maybe possibly be an NFL coach after Michael Irvin went on Colin Cowherd. This is, so someone's not telling the truth. Deion, of course, at his presser is saying, no, I got the kickstand down. All right, I've stopped down here at Colorado. But it sounds like Michael is trying to broker it.
You do believe, and I do too, that if Shadur went to the Cowboys, Deion would accept the job.
I believe 100%, and I can tell you, good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. That's all I can say like that without violating anything else.
So someone's not telling the truth.
Shadur.
It's like the way I say firehouse tour.
Yeah, tour.
Tour.
People say tour.
Shadur.
All right, we're back tomorrow.
We have a Sean and RJ flask as part of our auction items for Peace-a-thon.
Oh.
I didn't even get one of those.
I know.
Well,
don't want to autograph it?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
The KFC masterpiece next on 105.3 The Fan.